Welcome back to the Developmental Podcast for another edition of the NXT Roundtable. It's episode 27. It's the age I am now for a few more days. Which being joined with me right now, we have a full table again. That's exciting. Innes McVeigh is here. Innes, how are you?
Why does it always... I've asked you this before, actually. Why do your voice always go down when you go, oh, and Innes is here? When Leon gets introduced, you go up.
Because Innes watches the show, because Liam watches the show. Liam Stewart also joins us. Liam, how are you?
I am wonderful, as always. Happy to be here.
Excellent. You sound so happy. So excited.
It's funny because we can't talk about it. Also, Innes wasn't here for the last few weeks due to reasons and laziness.
Mainly laziness. Yeah.
It was the laziness. I don't want to put too much out there, but like we nearly had Day on the show for a second.
Nearly, I know. It's a rare. He nearly graced you with his presence.
His first podcast in like a good nearly a year or something. Something crazy like that. But like it was close.
Since the start of isolation. Yeah.
Craziness.
Quentin content. 2 or 3 with his last one.
Those were the days. Remember March? I don't.
Remember going outside?
No.
Good times.
Well, I do, because my place is pretty much normal at the moment. I know, I apologise. Is there any news before we dive into Halloween Havoc?
I guess the only real one worth covering relating to NXT is that they are not part of Survivor Series. Hell in a Cell, they showed the banner for it, and the yellow of NXT was there, so we speculated that they would be. Mm-hmm. But according to Dave Meltzer and anyone who listened to Raw, which I think was just me, it's 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series match, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Lana is on the Raw team. That's where we're at. No NXT. Other than that, everything ties into Halloween Havoc, which is the show we'll be discussing today.
Yeah, in record time, I think we're diving into the show right now because, I mean, there isn't much news to report, and we also put out a podcast like 3 days ago, so not much has happened in those 3 days as well. As Liam tries to work out what the fuck has happened to his voice, we will we will dive into Halloween Havoc. Spoilers, it was fucking brilliant. Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Michael I've already gave me decided... a warning before
People who
this
have
show.
Seen the show can comment in us.
Michael gave me a warning before this show. If I say anything negative, I will be shot and castrated. So I'm going to test his patience.
For context for everyone listening, Innes, just before you give any opinions on the show, for context, how much have you actually seen of Halloween Havoc?
I mean, technically, I've seen the full show. I had it in the background for the last 2 hours, but you know, I mean, I say the last 2 hours, the whole show was 2 hours. You know what I mean? I had it in the background. So I've seen bits and pieces of it. I know what happens, but you know.
So you've listened to Halloween Havoc?
Yes. Wade Barrett was very good on commentary. There you go, there's some analysis.
So you go, Liam.
I was just going to say, I feel like it's actually worth touching on that point because I've got to say, obviously now that I have to watch NXT with commentary for the live results purposes, I am so glad Mauro's gone. Because before I was like, you know what, he comes out with nice stuff and I watch the show muted anyway. But Wade Barrett is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, his evolution, like, he isn't a heel commentator, he isn't a face commentator. He's just Wade Barrett as a commentator. It's wonderful. It's and he's got this little love-hate thing going on with Shotzi each week, where he, like, he thinks she's a freak, but he progressively is liking her more and more because she's winning, and I think that's great. Everything he says sounds good. And I feel like Michael wants to talk about the costumes.
I do want to talk about the costumes. Oh my god, I want to talk about the costumes. So they brief... I love it. It was just so little last week. They basically, like, Vic and Wade, they challenged each other to a costume, Halloween costume contest for just, like, you know, for shits and gigs for a second. And then they followed through, and they when they, we got the first look at the commentators on the show, we then saw... Wade Barrett looking normal, and it's Vic Joseph dressed as Where's mm-hmm. Wally. And
they called it Waldo, which gets points taken off it, but you know, we'll leave it
there. I know, because American and whatever, but like, it's obviously Wally. Because Where's Wally just sounds so much better. So, and it also popped me because I'm going to a Halloween party tomorrow night, and I am going as Where's Wally. So, to see Vic Joseph dressed as Where's Wally with the glasses and the hat, I loved everything about it. And Wade Barrett was dressed as his favourite superstar, Bad News Barrett, and he had the gavel. Oh, it was so little, but I just, it just made it Halloween.
Can I interject with, did either of you send me a birthday present from Amazon with the name Liam Birthday Boy Stewart?
That'll be Dyes.
That'll be Day. That's Day.
Yeah, that'll be me and Dyes.
Do you not want me to do a live on-air unboxing?
Oh, go on, do it.
Because that's what I had to leave and go and answer.
Oh, yeah, because thank God we have webcam, because Liam just, like, got up and left as I started talking. At first, I was offended, but...
I'm slightly concerned that this is a flashlight or a dildo.
There is a flammable
audio listeners, which is everyone, it is Michael's birthday on Election Day, mm-hmm. so that'll be...
Fingers crossed.
Tuesday, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my birthday on Saturday coming.
Mm-hmm.
I have just answered the door. Luckily, because we have a fire door, I can't hear the knocking, but I can hear the dog barking. And there is a parcel here to Liam Birthday Boy Stewart. I've got to say, I hope it's nothing fragile.
Because it does look banged up.
I know what's in there, and I hope it isn't broke.
It sounds like a flashlight, I'm not going to lie.
Go on, open it, it'll be fun.
For the purposes of content, why not?
It's a live unboxing of Liam's birthday. I hope it gets something for my birthday this year.
ASMR?
Oh no, oh that's horrible. Stop, please no.
Oh.
Okay. I hope it's both presents in one box, it should be.
What?
We'll see. Explain what you're seeing.
Are you fucking mental?
Explain what you're seeing, Liam.
Go on.
AirPods.
Hey!
To replace the ones.
Which, like, is lovely, but are you fucking mental?
But there should be something else in there. We got you Iron Brew. There should be something else in there.
No, just AirPods.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, that's it?
Okay, that's half of the joke. There is another part present that is coming that will complete the joke. It's fine.
You're fucking mental.
That entire box was for an AirPod. Was for AirPods, yep. Really?
For a tiny little.
It's genuinely really nice. Oh, thank you.
I was.
The second part of the present will complete the joke.
It's a giant black dildo after that. Yeah.
Is there a replacement dog for Mia?
Yeah.
Context.
It's a
Mia
muzzle.
Ate Liam
it's
from
a...
AirPods.
Liam's AirPod Pro and that I had for 3 weeks. it was actually a tag team effort because, like, if I'd left them, like, lying, I could be like, that's my fault. I left them on the case on the windowsill. The cat knocked them down and Mia got to them.
So it was all a ploy.
But, yes. Anyway. Back to wrestling.
That was a really nice moment, everyone. That was lovely.
The funny part of that joke will come later on. It just seems
instead,
too nice.
It just seems
now.
Like you're nice.
I know, yeah. It's horrible. I don't like this. I'm the annoying cunt. That's not my role. No.
So, Halloween Havoc.
Yes.
First of all, we've talked a little bit, or you guys talked, I assume, about Where's Wally and Bad News Barrett.
Yeah.
Do we just want to talk about the overall aesthetic of the show? Because I think this is the first set that they've properly smashed in roster, main roster or NXT in a while. I feel like the Mania set that we were meant to get with a pirate ship and stuff would have been lovely.
Mm.
But I just can't think of the last time we've had a proper unique...
As nice as the In Your House house was for In Your House... That was a nice throwback. I think NXT made Halloween Havoc their own, which I appreciate. It was the NXT spin on it. Yeah. So I think I love Delay. Delay's the best.
Delay calling like 20. It's fine.
Delay
people
repeat,
listen to
that's...
podcasts with a skip silence button. So for them, they'll just have heard. They'll just skip right to the ums and ahs.
Oh, is that a thing?
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, on Podcast Addict it is. There's a skip silence option. It's great.
Oh, okay. We'll leave all the awkward pauses in this time. And for the people who listen on, like, Apple Podcasts, they're going to be very annoyed at what we're doing.
Shall we touch on the issue quickly of people who listen to us on Spotify?
Oh,
Because... we are proud to announce we are now Spotify exclusive. We are being paid. No, for some reason, the latest podcast, the Extended Gargano's Bubble, that went up on Tuesday, it's only 41 minutes long.
And for normal podcasts, that's a lovely length. But unfortunately, we go on for way too long. And there is a lot more that if anyone was just listening on Spotify, they would have missed.
Yes. And yet, for some reason, they just cut it off at...
I think we're talking about the
cruiserweight. Halfway point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? The support team haven't got back to me. Check out on Podomatic or iTunes if you want to listen to the actual end of that podcast. Mm. Because there's about an hour more of content. But before this one gets cut off, let's jump into the... in fact, Innes.
Hello.
What did you think of the aesthetic? All over the place here. The niceness has thrown me off.
I need to go back to being a cunt again. I'll work something out. Like, the show, I agree with the aesthetic being, like, one of the best they've done this year. And I quite like the In Your House set, but the difference between this set and the In Your House set is the In Your House set was really only, like, the entrance ramp and, like, the actual, like, entrance way, whereas Halloween Havoc encapsulated everything. You had the unique banners on the ring, you had the cobwebs everywhere, you had the pumpkins all over the place. It just felt...
Orange ropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just felt like a really... They put their own spin on it, and it felt like everything had its own little wee detail, even in the backstage areas when they were doing the House of Horrors match.
It also helped that now that they're in the Capitol Wrestling Center, the cage and everything, the new look of the arena really assisted the look of Halloween Havoc on top of that. That's just a happy coincidence that it worked out that way. Or it was totally on purpose. We don't know. But it looked phenomenal. Obviously, lots of people were hoping for, like, the giant pumpkin, and we did see it for a brief moment during Gargano's entrance in the form of, like, an inflatable one, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, that doesn't look great. That kind of looks like a cheap-ass pumpkin, but then when he slashed it, it made sense why they didn't go all out on the pumpkin.
Yeah.
Also, for those of us born after 2000, or if I say that like I'm born after 1990, didn't really care. I just thought it made Gargano look like a dick. I guess we'll use this to segue in. Priest got a live musical performance.
Yeah.
They made Priest look cool. Priest look like a rock star. It was... And the fact that the opening shot was the guitar up close was a nice cinematic way to open Halloween Havoc. Mm-hmm. And we get Priest's entrance. It looks really cool. Gargano comes out as Jack Skeleton, which was lovely. They put a photo of that before.
Mm-hmm.
genuinely, I wish I was the Gargano's child. I love my parents, but like, I don't. I'm fairly sure they don't have one. So if you want one whose nappies you have to change less, I'm here.
I was wondering where that sentence was going to end. I thought you were going to make Johnny and Candace change you, and then that is a different kink that I don't think we are ready for.
Diaper daddy.
No, no, Jesus. No. Episode
title.
There you go, we've got our title.
Okay. But yes, it was Gargano and I nearly said Gargano and Ciampa. That's force of habit. Gargano and Priest starting out with the first spin the wheel, make a deal. Shotzi appears. She looks incredible with her look and everything as the host of Halloween Havoc. She was amazing throughout the show. Just Shotzi, like, doing, like, little bumpers, going into the ad breaks, howling and everything. She was the perfect choice. Absolutely outstanding.
Can I just say, I still don't know if she's just dreadful at acting or world-class at acting, because it was really cringy at points, but I feel like that's the point of the show.
Oh, yeah, it was totally... It was so camp. It was so supposed to be... a show and cheesy, and it was meant to be that way. What else?
And I think, to be fair, I think Shotzi's meant to be that way as well.
Yes,
like as we saw by the tank promo and shit like that. Like, she's meant to be OTT, but not Irish.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Oh, so she spins the wheel. It's a physical wheel. It's not the digital wheel that we saw a couple of weeks ago. It's a physical wheel. And
much better.
She didn't spin it very hard. She
well,
just
you don't,
slightly...
generally.
No, but yeah. Like, I expect them to go like a full-on multiple rotations. She just went, and it spun like a couple.
Ennis, remember back when we could go to the arcade in the cinema and I tried to spin the wheel really
tried
hard
doing it.
And it nearly broke? Yeah. That's why... Also yeah. Because she probably didn't actually spin it, because they need it to land on a certain one. Probably has like a mechanism behind it.
No, I wanted the possibility of them in whatever that weird match was that was like the death one where they have to put each other in electric chairs. That was on there, I think.
That's an Abdullah the Butcher special, Matt. Some of the options on that were hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It was because I made up that graphic for socials. Sorry. I wrote the graphic for socials. Someone talented called Adam Mustel made up the actual graphic.
Yeah, right.
But I was sat thinking of batshit wrestling matches, and I've decided that Kennel from Hell is number one.
Naturally.
On the list of ridiculous. Electrified Steel Cage was batshit. We're getting to that on Retrona when it comes back. It's one of our first pay-per-views. Looking forward to it. But at least that's a logical match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes sense. But yeah, Kennel from Hell is mental. But instead, what match do we get, Michael?
We got the Devil's Playground match, which I'm going to have to
False
look back...
False anywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look back at the wheel and just count how many are just Extreme Rules / Hardcore / No DQ sort of matches, because I'm sure there are multiple of the same ones.
Yeah.
Most of them were, but it was mostly just that and like little references to WCW stuff, like the electric chair one.
Like, the only difference between this and a Trick or Treat fight is this has False Count Anywhere.
Yeah.
The only difference between this and the TLC match that we get later on, sorry, the TLS match, is that the title was suspended, so it was basically a ladder match.
Yeah.
I always get confused on the rules of TLC matches because of the WWE video games.
Well,
for ages, it used to be pinfall in TLC matches, and then sometimes it's
Because I remember because obviously growing up and seeing TLC and just always associating it with ladder, I think the Shield one, like the Shield's first match, was the very first time TLC ended in pinfall. That was the very first time. And then from there, I've always just, when I hear TLC, I think it's a ladder match. With the fun of tables and stuff. I hear ladder match and I think, okay, we're just going to do stuff with ladders and nothing else. Anyway, Devil's Playground, it's just a False Count Anywhere, no disqualification deal. They battle all around the arena, which is nice. This is what you expect them to do. Some nice little spots, a nice slice bread onto the steel steps, which was delightful. When they brawl out to the crowd, they bump in, because there's a graveyard and everything out ringside. They bump into a coffin that opens and a doll pops out. It scares Johnny. Johnny super kicks the doll. And after, when I saw that Johnny super kicked the doll, I was like, oh, I'm going to have fun tonight. This is going to be a very fun show. They brawl up to the top where the spin the wheel, make a deal wheel is. And a hooded Scream figure comes out of nowhere when it looks like Johnny's about to get hit with the reckoning and gets... What did the figure hit him with? Like a pipe or some sort of metal object?
Yeah, lead pipe, they officially say.
Yeah.
And after a tornado DDT off the wheel, which was a very nice touch, he then hits probably a styrofoam tombstone over the body of Priest, and he dives crashing into a great bump, by the way, off through the general debris area, nondescript wooden stuff. And then Johnny takes his sweet-ass time crawling for the pin, and Johnny Gargano wins the North American title for the second time. The first ever...
Johnny two-time,
the first ever two-time North American champion. And this was a fantastic start to the show. Great result. I was getting very excited for the rest of the show. Loved it. In a seeing as this is one of the only matches that you watched in full, you can go first.
Yeah, this is really, really good. I'm particularly, going back to the entrances, I really liked Priest just appearing in the ring. Like, he didn't walk down the entrance ramp. We just got the guitar, and then he was just in the ring. I kind of just want that as his entrance from now on. Because I think that's better than having him going down in the ring and just having the visual of just him appearing in the ring with in front of the spotlight. But the match itself was really, really great. These two always have pretty great matches. The last takeover match they had... was similarly really good, and the Scream mask was interesting. I guess I assume we're going off there.
Ghostface. There will be people listening that who like me enjoy horror films. So yeah, Ghostface.
Ghostface. Yes.
Use the correct pronouns, please. Just point of
I like to call Ghostface's Australian power adapters. That's exactly the same
shit. But yeah, Ghostface.
Everyone, Google Australian power adapters.
You'll get the joke. Ghostface comes in and attacks Priest, and I assume we're going off the assumption that this is Indy Hartwell, or at least Meltzer said it was meant to be. So
yeah, I guess the implication is that either... Because there was confirmed one person off of Halloween Havoc that wasn't in a match due to the COVID outbreak at the Capitol Wrestling Centre.
Yeah.
So the rumour is that that's Indy. So obviously she couldn't physically be in the outfit. But I think the more interesting way to do it is it's Austin Theory. Because that ties into our prediction and us being right makes me happy. Mm. Although someone did a height metric thing and it's the exact same height as Killer Cross. So I like the idea that Killer Cross was backstage and obviously couldn't be on the show and they were like, we need someone to fill in. He was like, I'll do it. Fuck it, I like horror films.
Why not?
Yeah, great match. Great match overall. Proper takeover opener style.
Yes.
Like the work rate match for the middle card title, fast pace, does what it needs to do, shock result to some people. We were happy because we wanted the Gargano way. Mm-hmm. Then you get all the little things like the kendo sticks, you get the gravestone, the tornado DDT using the wheel, Johnny conquering his fear of the wheel. Is lovely. Listen, Priest had a good run as North American title, as North American champion. Gargano's reign doesn't need to be a massively long one, but also NXT has a lot of new risky champions at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've got Lorcan and Birch. We've got Santos Escobar. you know, we've got Finn and Johnny with a title that legitimizes the division a bit. And it also means that we're going into Gargano versus Bronson Reed. Because Bronson had set his sights on the challenger, and I feel like if anyone can really bring out the best in Bronson, it's Gargano. But also, Bronson has been a little bit more heelish recently. I think that Gargano's in the perfect place for a sort of, not face turn, but like, we're allowed to want them to win. Because, like, I think after the main event, it's really difficult for them us to want to boo them. So I think you kind of go a little bit Io Shirai with them and then maybe turn Bronson full heel. But especially because, and we'll talk about this more, I don't want to boo Grimes either.
yeah, I getcha.
But no, good opener. Very happy with the result.
Okay, there is, in the next segment, there's a lot to get through. So I will do my best. All right, so it's Pat McAfee. He is out to with Lorcan and Birch to basically explain what has happened over the last few weeks and last week. He basically says that he hired Holland because he said he didn't need money, he needed a car, so bought him the car. And then Lorcan and Birch, he hired them as well to take out the Undisputed Era, and does the whole explanation. Really well done. I hate how much I like Pat McAfee.
Same. He's so good,
McAfee.
Just say it like the internet security app, which is McAfee. That's. I guess I was just gonna say, do you want to talk about this segment in sort of two parts, pre Kyle coming out and then post Kyle coming out?
All right, yeah, that's probably for the best. All right, we'll pause here for the segment. Basically the explanation that Pat McAfee,
Postman Pat.
We'll just say Pat. We'll be like WWE and just remove the surname. Pat says that he is. He set it all up. He paid the people to attack on the Undisputed Era. Makes sense. Good explanation. Great promo as well. I hate how much I like him as a performer. Liam, what did you think of the start of this segment?
This is the most sensible team pairing in a long time. You take Lorcan and Birch, right? Who are very good in ring, but have, like, very minimal character defined and, like, aren't the best on the mic. You then put someone like Ridge Holland, who was obviously originally meant to be there, who has a bit of heat from fans because they don't like how quickly he's been shoved up from NXT UK. He is the classic big muscle. He's good at running people through, but once again, isn't the great at talking. And then you add legit heat magnet Pat McAfee, who is solid in ring from that one match we've seen, at least in a very scripted match with a good performer, but can talk for $1 million. You put them together and it's like, I see why this is happening. Yeah. This makes sense. I like the touch that he hired Holland. Holland got injured because of an expensive mistake, but he was sensible and he hired the guy that took out his guy to become his guy. And then he got that guy to get his guy to become his guy as well. I love it. It makes sense. It made sense, and that's the best thing in wrestling.
Innes?
First of all, can I say I was right a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't had a chance to say it yet because I was gone, but I was right, so ha! And second of all, this is really, really great. Like, I really should have seen that it was Pat McAfee, because I had a think after it was revealed. Like, he's the only one who makes sense, and if we'd actually thought about it, we probably would have got it.
Did anyone else feel ridiculously stupid for just forgetting he exists after TakeOver?
Yes.
Because it wasn't even like I considered him. I was like, nah, that doesn't make sense. I just genuinely forgot he was on NXT, technically.
I assume we all just thought the Cole thing was just a one and done and then going back to his podcast. I don't think we even really considered it an option. But he's so good, and I'm so glad he's back. Because as you said, Liam, he gives Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan someone to talk for them, because as much as they can do mic stuff, they're always just kind of being bland, generic babyface team, and they can go, and they can go and ring, and then obviously we have Rich Holland, who would have been great as their muscle, and has since been injured, but I think this is going to be a really good little like faction going forward, whether or not they do it as like a faction or just McAfee as a mouthpiece. I'm not sure, but I'm really, really excited for this.
Absolutely.
And also, you know what else he could maybe give Lorcan and Birch? A name.
True.
That would be nice.
I don't mind them just being Lorcan and Birch. I don't think every faction needs it.
Yeah, but see if they had a tag team name. See when I write out the results.
All right.
Makes it much easier for me.
True.
Lorcan, the team of Lorcan and Birch. It's like I still refer to Maverick and Dane as the Furry and the Fury until they are named otherwise.
Yeah, and that's probably the way to do it. Then Kyle O'Reilly comes out. Looks like he's going to take on the three of them by himself. And then, surprise, out of nowhere, where the fuck did he come from? Pete Dunne rocks up. And he gets chairs, he gives one to Kyle, they get in the ring, it looks like the two of them against the other three, and then, bang, we get a swerve from Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne turns on Kyle O'Reilly, he aligns with Lorcan, Birch, and Pat, and we now have a team of four, which could only lead to what match? What match could that
be? War Games!
Yeah, that's the one. Because it just we're nearly at November, it's about that time. Yeah. So I was surprised to see Pete Dunne, because I didn't think he would be rocking up in NXT US for the time being. So that was a big shock. That was a shock I didn't see coming. But again, him taking the place of Ridge Holland in this spot makes I guess it's a natural thing. He's a name. He already has a lot of history with Undisputed Era. That's how Roderick Strong joined Undisputed Era way back when, which was a story thing I forgot about for a moment there. I love this
one
team.
One thing I really want them to establish is that, so obviously Lorcan and Birch and Holland were all bought out.
Yeah.
I want Pat to be like, you know, as for Pete, Peter just asked. I like the idea that Pete didn't really want the money.
Please never do that accent again. Whilst we're on this, please never do that Pat McAfee. You did have an impression of Pat McAfee.
Did I?
Yes!
Apparently.
You did an impression of Pat McAfee, and it was, I didn't like it.
I think that was just my generic wrestler doing a promo voice. Lots of overlapping story. No one saw Pete's return coming. It hadn't been leaked at all. Fantastic. As soon as he came out and as soon as Kyle walked in front, I think the turn became pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But that didn't take away from it. It was a lovely moment. Made Halloween Havoc have a bit of like legit shock factor on a show that is otherwise pretty comically based. And yeah, all for it. Also, you just think that this means that potentially next week on NXT, they could announce Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne.
Ooh.
And that would be fantastic. And as much as, you know, Ridge getting a big boost would be good, one would assume that it was only ever going to be Ridge and Pete's being brought in as a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have Pat in the War Games match, and Pat is definitely going to be the last entrance in the War Games match.
Because to get into the US from the UK, you need to quarantine for 14 days. So they must have had this in plans for at least 2 weeks.
I think the US don't care. I think it's the other way.
No.
Unless there's a work exemption
I looked in the restriction list for an article not that long ago. UK's on it, and
I know they were what they've done for a few people is flown him from like the UK to Thailand,
yeah,
and then the Thailand to America.
But you
there
still
was
need to stay
like
in Thailand for 14 days. That's the problem. You need to stay in a neutral country for 14 days. I don't. Maybe it's changed.
Well,
but as of a month ago,
I was going to say
about a month ago.
He's been injured for a while.
True.
2-3 weeks now, I think. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. Other thing, why isn't Pac back in AEW? America.
No, that's the reason why. The reason why is because to get to do weekly TV, he'd have to fly to a neutral country, isolate there for 2 weeks, go to the US, and then when go back to the UK, he needs to isolate in the UK for 2 weeks, so he can't appear on weekly TV.
Oh, because he doesn't live in the US, does he?
Yeah. And also, AEW don't pre-tape, NXT do. No.
Really?
Something, no. Something like that.
NXT's live.
Sorry.
AEW would AEW definitely pre-tape. That's 100% a thing.
Something like that.
How else did you get the spoilers before it started?
This is true, actually, yeah. That's a big fucking example of why it's pre-taped. Yeah, that's fair.
Innes, what did you think of Pete's return and the swerve as well?
So, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast that I'm not a massive fan of Pete Dunne, but I think Pete Dunne as a heel is way more interesting, and I'm glad he's with a group, because I think heel deep Pete Dunne on his own is good and fine, but I think heel Pete Dunne is like a silent like muscle for the group. As much as he's not a bigger guy, I think he can get away with that with his sort of new look he's got in the last couple of months. As that sort of silent muscle is going to be really, really fun. It's something different for Pete, and I think it's for someone like me who isn't kind of a big fan of him, I think the sort of more brutal, the slow, the sort of being able to, the joint manipulation stuff that he's kind of toned down a bit since becoming face is going to come back again, and I think that'll really, really help him. I don't know if they're going to have him go after titles. I kind of hope they don't, but I think him being back's good, and because I think if he was stuck in NXT UK, then it just kind of be a waste.
I think on the note of you being like he can get away with being the muscle, I think his style totally allows that. In terms of less of an enforcer, more of like a brutalizer.
Yeah.
Like we saw it with like the way that they took out Kyle. Lovely little thing of Larkin and Birch. See, need a team name. Going to do the vintage Orton, but with a person because the ropes don't exist. And then Pat goes, wait, and puts the chair down underneath. Like, I thought that was really good. But yeah, Pete doing stuff like breaking people's arms and stuff makes sense, and it's a good way to keep people aside and keep them out.
And you said also, and it's not, like, don't want him going after titles. I want him going after titles, mainly because NXT just keeps injuries and all these different things, like injuries and quarantine and all these things. There's so many variables in NXT land and in 2020 land that having someone the caliber of Pete Dunne being around to like to slot him in title contention, maybe not so much now that Gargano's champ as he's heel, but like they need more, especially with Cross being out and now Finn's out for a little bit. Having Dunne around is a great asset for them and is championship caliber. So that's one that I think, anyway.
I don't want him being like... What I mean is I'm fine with him like challenging for titles. I don't want him to become a champion. Like, I think in the time period of when we're missing people like Cross and Balor and stuff, it's good to have him there as like a fallback challenger. But I feel like when they have everyone back, they already have a lot of people in the North American division. Like, they have Cameron Grimes, they have Damian Priest, they have Bronson Reed, they have Karrion when he's back. They have a lot of new blood in that division that I think would probably be better for, like, and fresher as a champion, as opposed to Pete, who was UK champion, mostly on NXT US for the majority of his reign.
But also, Pete Dunne was UK champion for a good portion of that time, where that title was barely on TV as well.
True. Yeah, that's fair.
So we've also had comedy Pete Dunne as well with the Broserweights and things. So he's a name, and to have a name back on NXT is always going to be a good thing. Let's move on to the next part of the show, which, unfortunately, it was probably the weakest part, but that's not a bad thing because this show was just super stacked. Santos Escobar versus Jake Atlas. Santos Escobar is dressed as Rey Mysterio's Halloween Havoc gear, which was a lovely touch. Escobar beats Atlas. Liam, you are the cruiserweight homeboy, so you can take this one.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, the Escobar gear and the Dela de la Mortes face paint was lovely. Like, them paying tribute to, like, their cultural version of, like, our take on Halloween. Mm. Great. Match was 3 minutes, and they won with a loaded lucha match mask, which I would be annoyed at if this was anyone but Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story with Atlas is very clearly him turning. Mm. He's been getting more and more aggressive. He cost the team the match last time with the trash talk and Escobar. He's lost the end. Now this, it's annoying that they've done an I Quit match, cause this, and they've had Theory quit, because it almost feels like he should be like, I want one more shot, I'll put my career on the line, and then they do something with that. But yeah, I just see him joining them in a couple of weeks, and it'll be good, because Atlas is really good, and Legado del Fantasma have been getting slightly more interested again recently. But could they wrestle someone outside of Swerve for the title? That would be nice. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe give Ashanti a full match. Maybe use some of, you know, your cruiserweight division that have a show still. Or, you know, an Irishman.
Honestly, which Irishman would that be, Liam?
Finn Balor. Finn's under 205.
Honestly, I don't know how 205 Live is still a thing. How, like, there's no, it's so unnecessary.
There's Brian Kendrick's on it sometimes, and Bollywood Boys are on it. They returned last week.
Yeah, they came back.
So cool. That's a thing.
Innes, what did you think of the Cruiserweight segment?
Could you not think of a segue between the Bollywood Boys to My Opinion? Come on.
Nope.
Gender, you could have...
Both are things nobody cares about.
Oh, that's harsh. But yeah, this was a fun little match. I know you said it's obviously going toward Jake turning heel. I'd rather he didn't turn. He didn't join Legado del Fantasma. I'd rather he just as a heel on his own, because I don't want him.
Yeah, it could be on his own. Yeah,
I just don't want Legado del Fantasma becoming this big group of just nameless people. Because right now, with the three of them, they're all unique enough right now that they have their own personalities. Whereas with the bigger groups like Undisputed Era, they kind of just lose. Everyone loses their personality. They've been better at doing that the last couple of months, but I'd rather that they avoid that. But yeah, this was a fun match, and I kind of want Escobar to move on to someone outside of Atlas and Swerve at this point, because as much as their like cruiserweight division is somewhat limited, there is other people they could go to. Hell, even Drake. They have the. I know Drake's in with Killian right now, but you could mock that in. Surely, it's just an even little mini feud.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to see how War Games is going to stagnate titles this year.
True.
Because the world title's not involved, so that's good. We can have a world title match. North American's not involved, so we can have that. And obviously the women's isn't. And we might not have a women's War Game, although I would take a guess that we're going to have something like Io, Ember, Rhea, and Alino. Who else is face?
Who is that? What did you say? I nearly said Aaliyah.
That's who I was like. So, Io, Ember, Rhea, and then one more face female.
Tony,
yes. Versus Dakota, Raquel, Candice and
Indy,
maybe. Yeah,
it just I mean, that feels like that would be forcing it between now and War Games, which I would rather them not do, because two War Games was enough. Even though the women's War Games was incredible last year, I don't want them just to do War Games for the sake of fucking War Games again. That's the
difference. Eclipse off of the cage, though.
I don't
eclipse from on top of the cage.
I don't know if that's a feasible thing.
I don't care. Fucking try it. Yes. Ricochet did a double moonsault and it's peaked. But yeah, the issue I was talking about is that the tag divisions are very... the tag titles are very much tied in. And that's going to stagnate Killian and Maverick's story.
Mm.
Because their real thing should be the progression from them towards the title.
Yeah.
And they can't be anywhere near that just now, because it's obviously going to be Undisputed Era versus them. I would almost rather the War Games match be Killian Dane, Drake Maverick, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Like, maybe Strong and Fish get taken out and they look for two new members to join them. Because, one, you can do a little bit of comedy of Drake Maverick doing the Undisputed Era thing and feeling really fucking cool. It gives you a big guy to work with. It's not going to happen, but it would at least continue the title feud as well.
It's a nice dream. It's not going to happen, though. up next is the segment I was most nervous for going into the show, and then what I think paid off the best in the show. Dexter Lumis, Cameron Grimes in a Haunted House of Terror match. Throughout the show, little segments of Cameron Grimes and William Regal outside, and Regal's up being all weird and ominous and evil and creepy, ushering Cameron outside to a van that out pops Michael Hayes playing Bad Street USA. What the...
Bad Street Atlanta, GA.
So weird. So weird.
Confederate flag.
Cameron, as he gets into the van, says, "I hate rednecks," which popped me tremendously.
Yes,
so good. And then as we go into the actual segment, it's soundtracked by New Marilyn Manson. And he goes into the house, like, he's very loud going into the house, like, really making him known. We see Dexter Lumis popping up in trees from behind doors and stuff as he goes throughout. Then eventually he attacks Grimes, and then Grimes somehow gets into a bathroom in which he turns around. There's a female showering, and then he gets all really creepy and is about to force himself into the shower on this lady. Like he said, like,
someone hasn't heard of speaking out.
And someone's, and like he says, like, "I didn't know Lumis had a sister." And then he pops the shower curtain, and then out pops zombies doing, oh, the zombies and everything were really good. Were really well shot, really well put special effects, makeup and everything on. They were amazing. And it freaks Cameron Grimes completely out. He runs away, and then there's a to be continued, in which I was so excited because I knew it wasn't over. I was screaming through the entire thing of excitement, of happiness. This is everything I wanted it to be. This is how you do the Dexter Lumis character. This is the best. If Dexter Lumis does nothing else in his career, it's a success solely based on even just part one of this segment. I'm going to open it up to the floor, whoever wants to take it from here, because I've done a lot of gushing.
This was cinematically great. I've heard that it was Borash.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. And it was like a homage to POV horror.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing... We never, you know, a lot. You watch wrestling from a third-person POV, but this entire thing is shot not like camera-wise a POV shot, but everything we see is as Lumis is as Grimes is uncovering it. We are following Grimes trying to survive, basically, as opposed to trying to win. Big fan of the Manson stuff at the start. That really fitted it really well. It felt really big, like the way they were moving about, and I liked the little homages to tropes in horror, like the zombies, the jump scares, the getting in the car at the end, but actually the car not working, and Lumis being in it. It was really good. Grimes is one of the few performers they have that can make this work, because his character talks to himself so much that it didn't feel unnatural. But also his comedy at the start, like, "I'm coming for you, Lumis, you better hide, I'm gonna kick your ass."
Stop the accent,
it was even greater when later, we'll get there in the segment, but when he's like, "You stop, I'm Cameron Grimes." Like, that carries weight.
It worked perfectly for me, and best cinematic thing that NXT have produced.
Oh,
so that's good.
By a country
mile. I mean,
the bar's
not high. Let's be honest. The last thing was the fucking Dream Adam Cole match. The bar's not really high. But I really enjoyed this. Was that Marilyn Manson at the start? Because I thought Marilyn Manson made poppy music. Because was the other one who had that photo with the dress flying.
That's Marilyn Monroe, who is. Oh my god! Because stop, Liam. It's okay. I'm gonna give Innes a quick little lesson here. Marilyn Manson gets his name from Marilyn Monroe. He does get it from that, but then he puts Manson in there because of Charles Manson. So then he combines beauty and stuff with horror and evil and murder and stuff. And that then creates the music that he does, like The Beautiful People and various other hard rock and gothic kind of sounds. Innes, you shock me.
So it turns out, I don't know who Marilyn Manson is. I have thought literally for my entire life that Marilyn Manson is Marilyn Monroe. Interesting. So, this Michael literally looks like he'd rather top himself than be here. this part was really fun. I think, for me, I think this was mostly down to Gray. See, I'm trying to make a serious opinion now that Michael's just done. I think this was really down to Grimes. Like, I think Loomis was good in this, but I think Grimes made this. Without Grimes, this wouldn't have worked. Grimes just, with the trash talking throughout and just the jump scares and stuff, it's just excellent. Michael Hayes just randomly turning up, because sure, why not? Fuck it.
Yeah, get him, man.
But yeah, I think I preferred the other segment to this one, but this was still really, really fun.
And Loomis enabled this segment, but Grimes made it.
Yeah,
I feel like that's 100%. The best way to...
Yes.
Kind of sum it up for me.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. But we'll get to part two in a moment.
In a bit.
We go from the campy horror, like cartoonish style of this with like actual zombies apparently, to in ring stuff again, as Rhea Ripley faces Raquel Gonzalez. Goes about nearly 15 minutes. And honestly, this was really good. This was really good. And, like, because Rhea and Raquel are the bigger women in the division, like, they're not as high-flying, they're more powerhouses, that I didn't know how much of, like, what this match was going to be, especially we haven't really seen Raquel do lots of long singles matches as well, so we weren't sure where she was at too. We've seen her in tag stuff and so forth, but not so much. This was, like, a proper test for her. And I thought they both killed it. Rhea wins with a riptide. And I thought this was a tremendous showing for Raquel. And Rhea continues to get some big wins under her belt, like keeping her in the running for women's title shot down the track. Liam, what did you think of Raquel and Rhea?
The match placement here was exceptional. Mm-hmm. In fact, the whole show was built really well. So at this point, we opened with a mixture of sort of campy and proper wrestling with Gargano. We've had a quite serious segment with a big elevated moment of a pop that takes us into a really campy backstage segment where we're laughing, whatever, we're having fun. And then we don't get into like super serious like Zack Sabre Jr. technical thing, but it's just a big old hoss fight of people, stiff drinks, big power bombs, things like that. So it gives you time to digest what you've just seen, calm down. The match goes long enough that then you start to get back into it again. The match finishes, and at that point, you've had a break and you're ready to get excited and keep going. The match was really good. The only thing I would disagree about is I don't think Rhea should have won, because she is a former champion, and therefore whenever she wants a title, she's got a legitimate stake to it. We would believe that she could win. I would have much rather seen Raquel get a big win, even if it's fluky, even if it's heel, like dirty, to kind of elevate her to Rhea's level in terms of like legitimacy. And then also it means you can do a one-off title match with Raquel against Io, or whoever the winner of the main event would have been. And that just gives you one more person you can use. Rhea has now beaten Mercedes Martinez and Raquel Gonzalez, and I don't think she needed either of them, personally.
But I think...
Well, if Mercedes was going off to do Retribution, that makes more sense, but I assume we're getting her back.
But I agree that I think the better result would have been Raquel beating her, but I also think you can put someone over by giving them a good performance and a dominant back-and-forth performance against Rhea, which they did. But yeah, I agree that Raquel should have won. I'll be honest.
It's one of those losses that
Go on.
It's one of those. It's not like Retribution against the Hurt Business where it's like, oh, that loss has buried her.
Yeah.
No.
She's still elevated from that. Just you could have gone all out.
Yeah.
It's how much of this did you actually see in this?
This is the match I saw the least of. I know, no, because Dai said that was really good. I was gonna do it slyly and
Oh, Dai's a simp for Rhea though.
True.
I was gonna be sly about it and talk about and basically just rip your live results and see how long it took you to notice, but now the cat's at the bag, I can't do that. I hope this was really good. I tell you what, if you go to my Twitter, which I will plug at the end of this podcast, I will tweet about what I thought about it, so you can go there.
Yeah, watch the match. Watch the match for the podcast that you do.
I was busy.
You're watching AEW, you poor thing.
True.
Oh, wait, shall we interject with Innes's one line of getting to speak about AEW each week? Sure. Innes, how was AEW?
Yeah, that's about right.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
That was great.
Yeah.
We then get part two, the conclusion of Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes has been running for a while, apparently. He makes it back to the arena, and as he gets to the ring, he is he's creeped out. The zombies are coming out of the graveyard. He gets in the ring. There's smoke filling the ring, and then out of nowhere, Dexter Lumis comes up and attacks and stuff. And then as the zombies get into the ring and there's more smoke and stuff, one zombie kind of wraps herself around Lumis before landing a splash, and then Lumis basically chokes Cameron Grimes out, and then the zombies kind of roll around in unison around Cameron Grimes as smoke fills, and oh, that was Halloween. That was, everything was pitch perfect. Dexter Lumis is, as a character, is exceptional here. Cameron Grimes, as you said earlier, made this all work. I'm sure there are some people who could have also made it work, but I think the way that Cameron went from serious to comedy and blended that as a buffoon and was actually terrified, and this legitimately, and I'm not making this up, and I'm not saying it for not exaggerating here, this might be my favorite cinematic thing in 2020.
Really?
I think it might be. Because it might be. Because, as I know how people enjoyed Firefly Funhouse, and I do understand that. Boneyard match, there's an association with Taker's last match kind of thing there. People really enjoyed what was AEW's one with the Inner Circle and what was that
Stadium
called?
Stampede. That was really
Stadium Stampede.
Stadium Stampede.
You.
That was good. Different type of cinematic. Yeah.
It was a different kind. As far as a production side of things, and it immersed you in the world, fitting to a theme. I think this ticked all the boxes, and yeah, this is my favorite. I'm locking it in. This is my favorite cinematic match of the year, of the COVID era.
And I think I put in the results. Dexter Lumis wins? Question? It wasn't really a match. There was no Cameron Grimes didn't survive the night.
Yeah.
I was going to ask this. Did this end with Cameron Grimes getting eaten by zombies?
Well, as Beth Phoenix wonderfully said on commentary, zombies are known to eat brains, so Cameron Grimes should be fine. It's like it was good. A great line from Beth Phoenix. I don't care what anyone says. Beth Phoenix has a wonderful place in NXT.
Has some good moments.
Yeah, she fits in well.
I think we can see, because we get a lot of Cameron Grimes backstage stuff already. Like that's the focal point. I just want to see PTSD Cameron Grimes.
Oh yes, oh.
It would make sense.
I want to
just him being shit terrified of. So before he was a shitebag heel who would try to avoid because he knew he would get his ass kicked. I want him to now just be terrified of his own shadow. And down the line, at some point, maybe have him turn face with Loomis saving him from a beatdown, and they can have a little nice moment. And maybe we do a short run with them as a tag team. Or Dexter Lewis has zombie Cameron Grimes as a tag team partner.
Ooh.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Cameron Grimes just comes out and doesn't speak anymore. And it's just very zombie-like.
You're the best part of Cameron Grimes. No.
Dress him up like the ECW zombie.
No. You're getting rid of the best part of Cameron Grimes and just making him boring. No. Stay away from my
zombie. No, well, fine, he can talk, but make him talk with a little bit of a zombie, southern zombie. Brains. I want brains.
Okay, I'll do that. Fine.
Speaking of outfits and stuff, I'm not sure where it was in the show, so I'll just mention it here. The segment between Drake Maverick, when Drake Maverick's dressed as Hulk Hogan and Killian, who's Killian Dane dressed as again? He's dressed as the Shockmaster. And someone is dressed as the Giant, and then the Yeti is there as well. Does the Halloween Havoc 95 infamous spot, like pretty much more people I think have seen it through Botchamania than people have on actual pay per view. And then he trips over, and then Killian Dane does the classic British Bulldog line of "he fell on his ass." this was just nothing but in jokes, but like in jokes that aren't like people are already in the know of because it's such iconic internet and old school like nostalgia kind of thing. But all they were just great. I popped for every single reference that they did. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was wonderful. My favourite part of this was Killian Dane being like, "Why would I fall over? What would I do that for?" but the fact he's still willing to at least put the helmet on as progress. And then fucking Maverick being like, "I'll do it," and falling over, and Dave be like, "You're right, that was funny." I fucking hate how much I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah first.
Yep.
Now that. Can I just stop it?
Honestly, I think
Velveteen Dream at this rate.
Well, let's not get crazy.
I had to compliment his match with Kushida was good. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, neither Aaliyah or Killian Dane have been outed as possible sex offenders. So, slightly different literal ball game. Mm,
true.
No, I think this is proof that we can get, NXT can get Liam to like anything and anyone. So, I can't wait to see who they manage to get over with him next.
I've had such a shift in how, see, as I moved away from, like, going to wrestling shows, I mean, I didn't have a choice then because COVID, but like, from kind of reducing the amount of wrestling I watch. Unfortunately, I now watch 5 hours a week. But like, mixing up how I consume it. Now, because I watch it week to week and it's like, it's a set thing, I'm not sitting there and wanting a 40-minute match that's going to steal the show every week. Like I like New Japan for that. I like the indie stuff for that. And, you know, when NXT have good matches, I like that at the moment they're like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But also, if a show can just make me laugh and make me not look at the clock, first time I looked at the clock on the show was just before the main event, and it had been an hour and 45 minutes, and I was like, this show has felt like 5 minutes. Yeah. That's mental.
I was dreading, when I looked at the clock and I saw we only had maybe 20, 25 minutes left, I was like, aww, I wanted more. I want more of this. This is so much fun. I didn't want the show to end, which is an incredible compliment to give a wrestling show at this point. We go to a backstage promo of Tommaso Ciampa talking about the state of NXT. He says he no longer recognizes NXT. He respects the talent on the show, but he doesn't like the turn-taking mentality that NXT has got. And he says he says the young talent are wanting him out the way, but he isn't going to go anywhere. And he calls out Velveteen Dream, and they are going to have a match next week. Ennis, thoughts on Ciampa's promo if you listen to it?
First of all, I'd like to point out, you did a very good job of reading through Liam's results article.
I really needed this. This was honestly, legitimately, Liam's results are perfect for this segment in particular, because I was not paying attention to his promo in the moment, because I was still thinking about the House of Terror at the time.
I'll be honest, I didn't know this promo happened. I looked away and I looked back and the graphic happened. You mentioning it was as much a surprise to me as it was.
It was genuinely about 25 seconds, what I remember liking about it is that it's heel Ciampa, but it's kind of like gatekeeper heel Ciampa.
Right.
It's more him being like, I think there's some great talent here, NXT always has that, but y'all are too busy being like, oh, well, he's had a shot, can I have... I kind of took it as a bit of a dig at AEW as well, with the rankings and how
you
take turns and move down. And then I think that this is going to lead... Because, well, this leads to Ciampa versus Dream, which is fine, that makes sense. Ciampa should win, Dream can be written off for a bit. But I just think we should see Ciampa go to town on the new breed of NXT, and then I think they should go full circle and Tommaso Ciampa open challenge each week where he just destroys people, and when Cross is fit and ready, Cross comes out and Ciampa can duck out of the match, and we can see like a fear on Ciampa again, and we can do stuff like that. But yeah, that's nice. Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai will be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that'll be really good. And I think the split of the segments again pretty well. The placement, everything was really
good. Yeah, this is probably the most forgettable thing on the show. A, because of length, and B, like, it's hard to stand out on a show like this when you're just going to do a basic promo. Main event time, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, NXT Women's title. And then out of nowhere, didn't anticipate this, Poppy's here. I was so happy to see Poppy, and she did Scary Mask again. And you know the rule, whenever Poppy appears on NXT, Poppy also then plays us out on NXT, which means we are getting played out by Scary Mask. Those are the rules. Poppy comes out, Poppy plays Io Shirai to the ring. Candice LeRae is dressed as like Zombie Bride kind of deal.
I took it as the
Corpse Bride. Yeah. That's right. And then they spin the wheel, make a deal, wheel spins, and hold on, as I predicted, thank you very much. TLS, Tables, Ladders, and Scares was the stipulation, so TLC, ladder match rules, and they just have some really fun TLC action, and then the weapons and everything, the tables have body line markings on them as well, and there's some innovative stuff in there, like Io does that like dragon screw with the chair, which I hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. And Candice does the, I don't think she calls it the Miss LeRae's Wild Bride anymore.
No, I guess they just call it the Neckbreaker now.
I prefer the other name.
Twisted Sister,
or something like that. Anyway, they both go through the tables. And then the hooded figure returns and gets Candice up the ladder again. She, like, wakes up and she's on the ladder. That's a cool moment for her. And then as she thinks that she's going to get it, Shotzi interferes and takes out the hooded figure. And Io comes up. They do a couple of like false finishes there, which I thought Candace got it for a second. But then Candace goes crashing through the ladder, a nasty bump and everything. She lands on the ladder on her knees, which is like, that looks like that hurt.
Gnarly.
That looked like that hurt, and Io Shirai retains the title. Who do I go to? We'll go to Innes on this one. We'll go to Innes. What thoughts on the main event?
First of all, why don't they just pay Poppy to have Scary Mask be Io's theme? Like, surely the rights fees for Poppy aren't that high. Scary Mask should just be Io's.
I feel like it feels special, though, at the moment.
True.
Like, we have Io's theme, and then when Io's got a big match...
Poppy.
That's when she whips out the scary
And
match.
Also...
Yeah, like, it feels...
And also, Poppy Halloween. Another perfect addition to that, because Poppy's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's so good, so good.
But yeah, this is a really, really good match. I was kind of worried that... Based on... Because I wasn't a massive fan of the TakeOver 31 match compared to the... Toronto match last year, and I was kind of worried, is this just going to be another case of getting my hopes up, and then it doesn't exactly reach them again. But this was really, really good, and they went all in with the weapons. Like, Shirai at one point tried to get a moonsault and just got just got hit in the face by a bunch of chairs. And they went all out with it. I was worried at the start that they weren't going to like go full on with it, because for the first, like, 5-10 minutes, they just used, like, the announce table on the outside. But they, and during, I think, one of the pictures, they just brought everything in, and then it just ramped up. And as you said, Shirai falling off at the end, through the ladder, landing on her knees, looked horrible, but lovely. And Io retains, which I'm glad about, because I think Candace would have been good as a champion, but I think the moment's passed for it now, and Io probably should be dethroned by someone else.
Liam, explain to Innes why Candace should have been champion.
Oh.
She deserves it. But also, there have been so many long title reigns in NXT. And a little shotgun thing of her and Gargano as double champs, them doing like cool polish in their titles and stuff. There was a lot of potential there. But also... You know, I just feel it would have been fresh. I'm not completely like, it's Io Shirai as champion. Yeah. It's not bad. It's just, I feel like they could have done it. I'm going to tie in something that I think was a WWE exclusive.
Yes, it
which was the Candace being taken backstage by Johnny. He was like, come on, do you want to be Aleister Black? Do you want to be Aleister Black? He's like, she's like, leave me alone. He's like, you'll be Aleister Black. And he lies her back in this... like crate carrier and pushers her up. And...
That's great.
Because obviously he's over the moon because he's won, but she's lost. I think we can still get some really good dinner with the Gargano segments where she's going to be really angry and he's like, yeah, it wasn't too bad. And then she can make him sleep on the couch. I'm fairly sure that's something they're going to do. It was a great match. The only slightly disappointing thing is I really want to see Candace reach the mountaintop, and we're not there yet. Also, I feel like this could lead to something that I think would be great, which is I think in the Mania match for that women's title, or the Mania weekend point, at this point deserves to be Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai inside a steel cage for the title. With the added stipulation that if Candice LeRae loses, she could never challenge for the title again. Or, like, she... Because you can't do I Quit, because they've done it for this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to do it for Orton. But Io turned on Candace inside the steel cage when she lost to Shayna. Candace should finally win on a big stage, and it can go full circle there. And then you can maybe do a moment of respect to the end between them. And then Io Shirai gets called up after Mania.
I think my thing was with what Innes says, while a name, maybe an up and coming name or like a big name, and Candice LeRae is a big name himself, should be beating Io. Like, I do agree with that, but I was looking at this going, this is a great opportunity for Candace to get a cheap win, a dirty win, to and just hold the title for 3 or 4 weeks, and Io just gets it back again and essentially continues. Because hotshotting a title, they don't really do that in NXT, and it'll be something fresh as well. Candice gets to say she was NXT Women's Champion. She gets that notch in her belt without interrupting Io too much. Io will just get it back in the rematch, and it'll be fine because she'll win fair and square and so forth. That was what I was hoping with it anyway. So I am sad that it's one of those things. I'm not sure if Candice is going to win the title at all now, because I just wanted to have that title, because she's been in NXT now for 3 years, and
true,
she just doesn't, I don't know if she just doesn't really fit main roster. And I know she's gorgeous and everything, and you know, people and like main roster people will like that, but like, I just don't see main roster doing anything with her, and I don't think she wants to go to the main roster or anything.
Well, I'll tie back to that Triple H conference call not long ago, where he said that there are people that will never leave NXT because they don't need to. And I kind of see, I don't see Ciampa in that role, but I see Gargano and LeRae there. I think part of me thinks Johnny's aware that he's unlikely to ever like main event WrestleMania or something like that via being on the main roster. Yeah. Whereas there's a chance that he does a story similar to Rhea and ends up on Mania that way. And also, they are the top of NXT. They're on NXT contracts, which means they're not going to be touring when fans are back and things like that. They're probably allowed to keep Twitch streams, unlike everyone else, including Paige. Ha ha ha, that's what you get for dating a merger. Oh,
Jesus! you had to get one offensive comment.
I think that is
then.
A fair trade-off. That's not offensive! She literally is!
Kevin, don't just say it! Fuck me! There was no build-up! There was just straight in there.
Chat shit, get bit!
Jesus.
She can't have any issues with chat shit get bit. She's literally got a tattooed on her fucking knuckles. I'm sorry. Paige talking about the morality of the WWE while dating someone that's convicted of manslaughter is just a bit... sis.
It is, but I don't want to say it out loud. Oh,
I don't...
But I suppose... I suppose the drug... the drug in me is you, I suppose, so I'm just falling in reverse. But he can't escape his fate for long.
I don't know enough about it to comment on it. That's where I will sit on that. Anyway, where were we before that incredibly problematic thing that was just said?
Recap the show. Fuck it.
Okay. Anyway, it was a great match, and it ends an incredible Halloween Havoc. I hope we get Halloween Havoc every single year, because that was the most fun I've had watching wrestling since COVID hit, and probably before that a little while as well. It was so much fun. This is my show of the year, and I don't know if it'll get topped.
Yeah, I think having this so quickly after Hell in a Cell as well has just been a delight. If only Bound for Glory had this delivered, and then we would have had a hat trick.
The trifecta.
Innes, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up and I go back to mindlessly scheduling stuff?
I mean, it was all right. It was an average show. I mean, Michael's giving me a death stare. In all seriousness, Innes,
when you watch it properly, let us know.
In all seriousness, from what I saw, it was a very, very good show. From what I've heard, it seems like it was like of takeover level, if not higher. And considering the last two takeovers, I've kind of felt not less the last one, but the two, the In Your House and 30. No, yes, 30 In Your House and Takeover 31 were good takeovers, but not like the like exceptional takeovers. Whereas this felt like that. So I think this is a really, really strong show, especially in competition with AEW, which was.
Yeah.
I guess we've got Timo Sabotagelli to thank for that.
Thanks, Tino, for making my results really, really easy this week and just having to copy and paste.
Honestly,
Innes, yep. I've just had a great idea, by the way. I'm going to pretend to die that I've just bought AirPods.
That's amazing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Beautiful. He's going to be
that.
So angry. Great. I think as well to double check, so that's going to make him even more angry.
That's going to be great. Also, I think the only thing I wish that this had happened was if this was Takeover rather than an episode of TV, because I would have loved to have continued to see Priest and Gargano and Raquel and Rhea and Candice and Io with no ad breaks. The only thing that I would have liked to have seen. I would have liked this as an actual Takeover. It would have been... If that was the case, then this would have been my favourite Takeover. That's how much I adored this show. Yeah. Also, I just... this is just kind of like, take that for me. I still get notifications about my old radio station, my old work, when it's off air. It's been off air for 40 minutes. So that's something. Which sucks for them.
Spaghetti!
But that's funny for me. Ines, let's wrap it up here. Ines, do you want to plug your stuff?
Sure. You can follow me pretty much anywhere at Ines_McVey. No. Yes. Did I? What? Fuck. Ines_MCVEY. I might tweet about my thoughts on NXT afterwards. I might not. I'll probably forget, let's be honest. But follow me anyway, because I'm close to 350 followers after stagnating for like 2 years. So thanks. Get me up to that, please. Please.
What a pitch.
Please.
What a pitch. Liam... plug your stuff.
Follow me on Twitter at Liam A. Stewart. Follow me on Instagram at Liam A. L. Stewart. I am 3 followers off 600 after stagnating for a year and a half. So if 3 of you go over and follow, I have a nice round number and that makes me feel good.
The 3 of you follow me instead and then we can laugh at him being close to 600, which will be more entertaining.
You can follow me at Michael Farah on Instagram, at Michael Farah 92 on Twitter, and on TikTok, where I am 20.7 thousand followers, according to my most recent, 20,700. So that's a thing. But yeah, we'll get played out by Scary Mask. I've decided I'm pulling rank this time. I don't know if NXT can top what they just did this week. It's going to take quite the effort, but it's been a lot of fun. Like I was talking about it before, wrestling hasn't made me feel this way in such a long time, especially in the no fans era or in the minimal fans era. It's been really nice to feel this way again. Oh, NXT continues to be magic. Anyway, for the two of you from ITRWrestling.com, Poppy is about to play us out. So yeah, Liam, you've got a catchphrase.
Thank you very much for listening. He's been Michael Farah. He's been NSYV. I have been Liam Stewart. And as always, please remember to be good people.